Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We're reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 30, Text 48. Te cha brahmana adeshan marisham upaye mire yasham maha avagyana ajanya jana ajanya jana jonija Checha Brahmana Adesham Maresham Upaye Mire Yasham Maha Ajaja Avajana Ajanya Jana Jonija Techa Brahmana Adesham Marisham upayamire Yasham maha avyagyana Ajadya jana jonidya Te all the prasetas Cha also Brahmana of Lord Brahma Adesat, by the order. Marisham, Marisha. Upayimere, married. Yasham, in whom? Mahat, to a great personality. Avagyanat, on account of disrespect. Ajani took birth. Ajana Jonija, the son of Lord Brahma Daksha. Translation, following the order of Lord Brahma, all the Vasetas accepted the girl as their wife. From the womb of this girl, the son of Lord Brahma named Daksha took birth. Daksha had to take birth from the womb of Marisha due to his disobeying and disrespecting Lord Mahadev Shiva. Consequently, he had to give up his body twice. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In this connection, the word Mahavagyanat is significant. King Daksha was the son of Lord Brahma. Therefore, in a previous birth, he was a Brahmana. But because of his behaving like a non-Brahmana, Abrahma, by insulting or disrespecting Lord Mahadev, he had to take birth within the semen of a Kshatriya. That is to say, he became the son of the Prasetas. Not only that, but because of his disrespecting Lord Shiva, he had to undergo the tribulation of taking birth within the womb of a woman. In the Daksha Gyana arena, he was once killed by Lord Shiva's servant, Virabhadra. Because that was not sufficient, he again took birth from the womb of Marisha. So at the end of the Daksha Yagya and the disastrous incidents there, Daksha offered his prayer to Lord Shiva. Although he had to give up his body and take birth from the womb of a woman impregnated by the semen of a Kshatriya, he received all opulence by the grace of Lord Shiva. These are the subtle laws of material nature. Unfortunately, people in this modern age do not know how these laws are working. Having no knowledge of the eternity of the spirit soul and its transmigration, the population of the present age is in the greatest ignorance. Because of this, it is said in Bhagavatam 1:110, Madan Sumanda Matayo Manda Biyaga Hi Upadruta. The total population in this age of Kali Yuga is very bad, lazy, unfortunate, and disturbed by material conditions. Oh my Shri Krishna Chaitanya Pamuchana Shiva Dvaita Gadara Shiva Srego Bhaktivin Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare. There's a couple of things here that are very important. The pastime is for wonderful. These activities are actually very wonderful activities. In between these, the pastimes, there were some good points there. One is that as a devotee, he has to be very careful in making offenses to other devotees. This is a very important point. Because these subtle laws govern everybody is very stringent. People offend each other physically and mentally. So they think, why am I feeling so bad now? How come I'm not happiness? Why I'm not tasting anything? It's because of offenses. This is something that people overlook. They take it for granted. They offend each other like it's just like the wind blowing. Then after a while, they disappear from Krishna consciousness. Because these offenses, when they mature, they can sometimes remove you from the associations of devotees. I have seen this over the last 41 years in Krishna consciousness. People come, they make offenses. They are the neophytes. What is a neophyte? They see the deities in the temple. And they say, oh, Krishna Balaram Kijai. Look out, boo-boo. Hey, give me some space. They think that's not an offense. They think it's not an offense. So they think the next day, a few days later, they feel real bad. I don't want to go to the temple today. Why? Because the taste has been removed. We come to the Dham to drink the nectar of Krishna consciousness. At least I did. If you come here and make offenses to the other devotees, you're not going to taste anything, because these subtle desires that govern all the devotees will act in a very stringent way. Because I've seen this for many, many years, so I'm telling you this from experience. You cannot be a nice devotee if you overlook that your offenses are making, or the offense that you are making is not important. So, Daksha was just perfect example. Ceremonies and mantras and Hare Krishna, blah, blah, blah. And then he made an offense to the devotee while he's doing his offenses. What happened? Virabhadra visited him. Virabhadra was without mercy. Now all the devotees who were looking Daksha make offense, they were smiling. They got their teeth knocked out. Because the subtle desires and the subtle laws of the Lord, they're very stringent. Nobody escapes. People think, well, these laws don't govern me. I repeat this. Nobody escapes. It's impossible. So we're here in Krishna consciousness to be ecstatic and make tremendous advancement in Krishna consciousness. But if you open that wormhole of offenses, it's very difficult to close it again. And Daksha was the perfect example. Because his offense was so, it was so subtle. They put a goat head on his neck just to embarrass him to further. Then after that, he took birth twice. Well, people think, well, taking birth is not too bad. Now, this is the madman talking. Taking birth is a very horrible thing. So in Krishna consciousness, once Srila Prabhupada said, he said, finish up your business in this lifetime, he said. See, don't come back. Now that sunk into my mind very deep. Finish your business in this lifetime. He said, don't come back. I took that as instructions on my spiritual master that I should be fanaticism about going home now. So I'm a chant my rounds every single day and beg the Lord for me that not to make any offenses. Those took it for granted, they have to go out and then come back again. Sometime in another body. So the idea here is that this of making offenses, it can destroy your Krishna consciousness. It destroys your bliss. Everything you're working for is being, even like, I just like someone stole something from the day, a couple of days ago. And I'm thinking in my mind, I said, wow, I am established Brahman and he stole from me. I say, he doesn't understand the subtle laws, because when you steal from a Brahmana, you destroy not only your life, but your family's life and generations of the suffer. You cannot steal from a Brahmana. So, but still, I see these things happening. So people are ready to suffer. They're enthusiastic to, you know, make offenses and suffer. What is the bliss of suffering that misses me? If anyone doesn't understand this suffering thing, just just wait a while. You'll be trained up really clear that nobody's going to escape. So don't make offenses. I'm telling it again because your life is too short. And the life is very precious to waste it being offensive. And the biggest offense is making offenses to the spiritual master. Once you start making offenses, you don't know who you're offending. For instance, like, you say, well, I see the sannyasi here. I offer basis here. Then he step on a foot on a guy next to him. He's thinking, that wasn't that important. That guy's not important. But you don't know who that person is. So when you make offenses to this person next to you, he probably has you. You can't even imagine. So the point is, be intelligent and take all the words of the Lord in the Bhagavatam with your life and your soul. And if he says don't make offenses, don't just push it away. I remember a devotee, he was so intelligent. His memory is like impeccable. He could read Bhagavad Gita and memorize all the verses and Sanskrit and English. I was awestruck with that. So, but when he got a lot of money, he accumulated a lot of money, then it disappeared. We never heard of him again. Because the subtle laws that govern everyone are very stringent. You should make a point from this day on. I'm in the Dham. I'm in the Dham. I have to be very, very, very careful of offenses. Because around you, which is an ordinary tree, is a cup of victory tree. So when you're thinking something, those desires will be fulfilled. All the trees in Vrindavan are cup of victory. They look like useless trees, but they got so much potency to fulfill your desires or destroy you. So very careful when you're walking in Vrindavan. This is a very, very saint, sacred place. I was told it by Srila Prabhupada was giving a class about, he said, don't come to the Vrindavan to make offenses. Don't complain, but don't fight with the rickshaws of people. The rickshaws of Yaj. Don't come to argue with the men who ride the rickshaws, control the rickshaws. Don't spend all your time in the market. You said you cannot find God in the market. This is word from Prabhupada said, you cannot find Krishna in the market. Come to the temple to hear. When you come to the Dham, find a way of somebody that you like and to hear from that person. Don't come and go away not hearing, because that's the reason why you're here. Please don't waste your time. Because in my experience, I realized after 30 and 40 years, that beautiful and tight body you had right now has become old and saggy and weak. Put that in stone, I guarantee. You think you're very strong, you're going to become old and weak. And all your beauty is going to disappear. All of your beauty is going to go away. Don't waste your time. We were doing kirtan and distributing books, and I felt like I could do this all night. Sometimes we stayed out all night distributing books. We was fired up. Now I'm struggling to go up the stairs. The body is just disintegrating right in front of my eyes. And as Srila Prabhupada once said, do not think it will not happen to you. He said that when I was young, I was like, well, you know, he's probably somebody else. No, he was talking right to me. Nobody will escape. Nobody will escape. So in this Krishna consciousness is your life and soul. But the nectar and the bliss begin when you stop making offense. Every time you chant Hare Krishna, you absorb so much bliss and happiness. But you sit around, I don't like that God over there. Offense. Be careful of offenses. Because I'm watching from my trained years. I'm watching. I said, wow, well, that was a serious offense there. I'm watching offenses. I'm hearing offenses. And whoa, wow, this guy is going to do some serious suffer in the future. I mean, I'm not complaining about it. I'm just observing. So I'm just telling you, don't waste your time. Chant your rounds nicely, because bad rounds are being recorded by the copper vixens. You're sitting by, right in a tree that you think it all is a useless, ugly tree. But you don't know who that soul in that tree, and he's listing everything. Well, this guy do some serious suffering. Let me help him. So don't waste your time. That make sense? There's a lot of things I want to say. I don't want to over waste your time here. But this part I thought was very important, because I was watching and observing things that I want to taste Krishna consciousness all the time. I like the pleasure of chanting and being in the Dham. But if you don't become conscious of these offenses, it's going to smash you down to the point where you become disinterested in Krishna consciousness. I have seen it with my own eyes. Why do we take a spiritual master? Why do we take a spiritual master? I know how to read. I can cook. Offer them. So why do I take a spiritual master then? All the things we do, we're expert at. But so why are we taking a spiritual master? Why do we need a spiritual master to do all these things? I know how to put my spiritual clothes on. My tilak is impeccable. I mean, just... My clothes are so neat and cost $1,000 a piece. So what do I need a spiritual master for? Because there's one thing you can't monitor or control. And that's your mind. Who's in charge of your mind? That's the spiritual master's service. Sometimes we're walking in the morning, walking. Someone was something, whatever. And Srila Prabhupada said, you're a rascal number. You're simply a rascal. So I was thinking, the job of the spiritual master is to beat your mind, smash your false ego, to make you humble. You have to become humble. and you can't make yourself humble by yourself. I'm not going to call any name, but one spiritual master, I mean, one God brother, he came into the room, and Prabhupada said, Srila Prabhupada, I've done everything, and you don't have to do anything. You don't have to write this, do that. I've done everything for you." And Prabhupada turned around to him like he said, "You're useless. You said you can't even fix that fan right there in the corner." And I remember that devotee did it. That's the job of the spiritual master. Smashing that false ego. Because everybody is so proud. You can't even imagine. We're so proud. But the spiritual master's job is to remove your false ego. So you will need a spiritual master to smash your false ego and stop making offenses. I like to open these different questions, but I mean, I don't want to talk too much, but anybody understand what I'm saying? Accept what I'm saying? Anybody rejecting everything I'm saying? Oh, well, louder, because I can't hear it good. Say again.
So our this means mental. How to avoid this mental offenses? Because our mind is always saying that you are right, others are wrong. Because we can avoid this grossly offenses and also bachik offenses, whatever we speak through our mouth. And how to avoid this mental offenses? Because it's very dangerous.
You mean your own mind? Me.
Mental offenses.
Oh, okay. Well, that's self-explaining. There's so many mental offenses toward the people, to the deities. I've seen people arguing in front of the deities, right? I'm just, whoa. That means he thinks he's stone. He's fighting a devotee in front of the deities and realizing he's thinking that these are stones. They're not thinking about God. So, I mean, the offenses are being happening all mentally and physical. And, you know, mental, yeah, you're thinking many offenses, yes. But the point is, if you're conscious of these offenses, then you're getting the mercy of the Lord because you're trying. It's not that you can't avoid them. You can just ask Krishna, please help me to, you know, do the right thing. That's that humility comes into play right here. See, the point is that we're very, very proud. Did anybody think they're proud? People are very proud. I'm proud. Because it is proud, we make offenses. Then when you make offenses, then you walk around in the temple with a sad look on your face. Don't know why you're not tasting anything. But when you're not making offenses, then you're joyful. You think, "Oh, man, I feel really, really good." Till you make an offense, then you get sad again. That meter on offense, moving back and forth. Shut up. Up and down, the meter is going back. Offenses, nice. Offenses, back and forth. So, enjoy Krishna consciousness. I I'm not speaking as strong as I used to be, but I also had my stroke that cuts me down the potency. So everybody's going to pay their dues. Nobody's going to be escape. But remember this point. Don't make offenses. Yes?
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
When you talk about offenses, there are 10 offenses listed in the Hare Krishna Mahamantra.
Yeah.
Now, do we restrict ourselves to these offenses, or are there some more offenses which one should not commit?
You're talking about the 10 offenses in the neck of devotion?
While reciting Hare Krishna Mahamantra, while chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra, there are 10 offenses listed.
Exactly. So
now, do we restrict ourselves to these 10 offenses, or more offenses which we should not commit?
There are many more. Even negative devotion is 64. Yeah. Other than 10, there's 64. And then you also know when you're making offenses.
What is wrong?
Yes, I mean, you have to know, you know when it's offense. Someone gets offended by your words, that's not an active devotion, but you know that when your words injures someone's, you know, that's an offense.
Can we say that your behavior should be in sattvaguna all the time, in the mode of goodness?
See, there's two things. When you're chanting Hare Krishna, but you have to be aware around you that Krishna is watching everything. You have to always be very, my dear Lord, please help me not to make offenses to the devotees and the deities, in front of the deities. You have to desire. It's just simple as a desire, and Krishna will help you. The Dami Buddhi Yogam, he'll give the knowledge and the ability. The main thing is Krishna has to give you everything. But if your attitude is not great, then Krishna won't give it.
Thank you.
Yogam.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Prabhu, you said the service of a Guru Maharaj is to smash disciples' false ego. So if a Guru Maharaj is in one continent and the disciple is in another continent, how does Guru smash...
That first part of the question I didn't hear. That thing.
Prabhu, you said the service of the Guru is to smash disciples' false ego.
Okay.
If the disciple is in one country and if the Guru is in another, how does the smashing of the false ego happen?
In different places. Well, that's because Shiksha gurus, the instructing gurus in every temple, and the presidents of different people, they're representative of the guru. And when you make something offense, it's getting back to your spiritual master. Do you know what he did? No. You can't escape.
Thank you. You know.
I'm only saying these things, but yes. Well, that's it. I'm not hearing very good, so you have to speak out.
Thank you. You mentioned about pushing or shoving devotees, you know, like when you're in the crowd. But here in Vrindavan Dham, I noticed that we are always being pushed. So should we just accept the pushing, or sometimes we may have to push back to get?
But this is therefore a proving field right here. If I do something, I do that. I bump somebody. I say, oh, I do this. You know, but some people they come and bam, it's like it's not important. But you, when you make it, yeah, my first experience, yeah, a lot. I mean, but devotees here, they're very enthusiastic to see the deities. But what they're forgetting is that that's called a neophyte devotee. They see deities in the temple, but they don't see Krishna in the heart of the devotees.
So, Prabhu, my question is, so when you're being like Mangalati or any arti, like a big crowd is pushing you, should you just back tight or should you just be allowed to be pushed and being submissive and go in a corner?
When I see people who are very, very offensive, I get out of their way. I let them go. Why should we have a confrontation? He said, hey, I said, oh, go ahead. You know. You know, I'm not going to, you know, don't help them to make offenses. Neophytes, that's what they do. Neophyte devotees, they make offenses. That's why they call it neophytes. You'll never see the Uttamas and Madhava sannyasis being offensive. In fact, they're already, their practice is humble, humility. Always very humility. They know. But the young devotees, they run and they step on your feet and it's like, oh my God. And that glance that I'm looking at, that's transferred. That's coming back for him. Reactions coming from that. But you shouldn't be like a neophyte. Majima and Uttama, that's your platform.
Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Well, anyway, I didn't want to beat this rag too much, but the point is, you're coming to the Dham to drink the nectar of Krishna consciousness and just drink it. But watch of the pitfalls that break you down. And your life is too short. One day, you're young, 20, 23. Next thing you know, you're 65. You see, wow, where did the years go? And before, you were so beautiful. Now you got so many things on your face, you just. You know what I'm talking about. So, anyway, I don't want to make too many more offenses here, so thank you for listening to me. And my name is Ura Jasvadas. And I joined in Krishna consciousness in 1972. And I met the devotees in 1969, but it took me a while to make some changes in my brains. But by 1972, I finally surrendered. So thank you for listening. Hare Krishna, Hare Ram.